Just a little preparatory note. Most people think that Jesus was a disciple of the Baptist. And when the Baptist got killed, Jesus started preaching publicly and saying exactly what the Baptist had said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The difference between the two is that John seemed to be much more hard-nosed and aggressive and ferocious than Jesus was, perhaps less accepting of people's weaknesses, just so we kind of keep that in context. But I'd like to continue with what I proposed last Sunday, this Advent, the time of expectancy, and I took as my cue that startling essay by Princeton philosopher Frankfurt on bullshit, saying that one of the things we can expect is a bullshit-free zone. And that's what Jesus is. I mean, that's a fairly crude, but a good way of talking about who Jesus was. But then you start looking at that context of bullshit, it becomes richer and richer. Frankfurt suggests that the essence of bullshit is not a positive lie, but an indifference to the truth. It's not so subtle a difference between lying and bullshitting. And that would seem to say that bullshit is sort of a morally neutral, fairly harmless activity, you know. And I suppose there are places when it can be, but bullshit is not morally neutral because bullshit is always perpetrated in the name of somebody's advantage. It's not just, well, me having nothing else better to do. No, it is a strategy for self-promotion. And so it's not morally neutral. Rather, I would suggest, it's predatory. It's essentially predatory. It's going to create, sooner or later, a cast of victims. It's going to erect divisions between people. People who purvey the bullshit and the people who receive it. There's an essential inequality there. And that occurred to me as I've been working this week on this stunning passage from Isaiah, these gorgeous, gorgeous images, which we're going to see if anybody sends Christmas cards anymore. Now that the internet has kind of taken over the world. But you're going to see pictures of little cartoon-like lions with little fuzzy lambs right lying next down to them. You know, and of course, this is going to be drawn from Isaiah. But if you look at the text, Isaiah was not interested in talking about a modification of animal behavior here. He's basically talking about a whole new set of relations between us human beings. So I suggest that the pivot, and we can get lost because the images are so beautiful, you know. The lion lying down with the lamb and all this wonderful other stuff. And the wolf with the leopard and the kid and the calf and blah, 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 and on and on and on and on. But that's not what he's talking about. Those are simply illustrations of a much more radical change in the relations between human beings, not between animals. And this is found in the earlier part of this passage. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. That's the pivotal thing. Because if it is true that bullshit is predatory, then it creates an impoverishment among us human beings. One of the Roman poets described the human condition in this following dismal phrase, homo homini lupus, that human beings prey on other human beings. Human being is a wolf to other human beings. And he came to that conclusion simply by looking at normal human behavior. Well, what is happening here in this prediction from Isaiah is that when this agent of God comes, the son of David, out of the root of David's family, Jesse. There's going to be this massive reversal. There's something that never really happens in the world is going to happen. Namely, the poor are going to be judged with righteousness, with fairness. That's a revolutionary idea. And if you don't believe that it still has currency, go to the London courthouse. I recommend it. It's a wonderful exercise. I've done it many times for a variety of reasons. Sit in those courtrooms and see who has a lawyer and who does not have a lawyer, who's in the dock and who's not in the dock. The poor don't get justice. The poor, in fact, are preyed upon. And so what we're talking about here is a new aspect of what we're supposed to be expecting is Jesus as the bringer of justice. Which means what? That all these people who are ignored, who are invisible to us, and they certainly aren't to me, are going to get a fair shake. Not only that, if we're going to be brought together. That sounds nice and safe, because what I can do and routinely do is simply insulate myself from the fact of the massive maldistribution of wealth or goods or services, food, on this planet. And I can continue to go to No Frills and I don't go to Walmart, but Future Shop and all the other places, and do my business and get through life without any thought of, for instance, the 12% of children in Canada who are seriously malnourished, for example. And then every once in a while, a picture of Somalia, Sudan, Darfur shows up with these little 6-year-old boys that weigh 30 pounds. Shoulder blades seem to be protruding from their backs. And I sit and cluck. That's very nasty. But then go on. What we're called to in Advent is to an absolute enlargement of our awareness of the world we live in. That somehow all these disproportions, this terrible maldistribution of the world's goods, are largely not just a result of the forces of nature, but of human decisions. I don't run an international company. I don't understand global economics at all. But somehow it's absolutely essential to me that if I'm really expecting Jesus, I'm expecting Jesus as the bringer of justice. And that's not going to have any content at all unless I'm aware of the pervasive systemic injustices which mark our world. Here in London, Ontario, as well, as I say, I bring up the court, or go to Limberlost. Go to virtually any of the public housing areas in the city. The problems are enormous, very complicated, psychologically, sociologically. And so what I am suggesting to myself and to you, that there is a problem. That there is a problem of pervasive injustice in our world, and that my simply ignoring it makes me party to that injustice as well. And somehow, and everybody's going to have to decide on her own or his own how to redress this. If we really believe all these lovely words of Isaiah, he will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. You know, that's a greater miracle than a lion lying down with a lamb. You know? It really is. And this is not intended to induce guilt either on me or you, but simply to clarify our understanding of what we're supposed to be expecting in Advent. This figure, this agent of God, will awaken us to where we are in the world, move us to do something about altering that world we live in, because this is the world that God wants.